Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Great song.
Just a total banger. All time. Elliot knows how much I love this song. Yeah. This is... I made Zoe listen to it. She loves it now. Like, I love this song.
This is what I'm talking about when I say a banger.
It's a banger.
Like, you put
banger.
This on at the
flat
bar.
Flat out banger. So here's what I always think of with a banger is because I like to listen to shuffle a lot. You'll put mixes together.
Right.
Like the Never Skip song. Like, yeah, I'll never skip it no matter how many times. I could have heard it 5 minutes ago. I'll be like, oh, play it again.
Okay. So I know I'm getting old because I officially have reached a point where I think that music peaked in like the 2010s.
Same.
Yeah. With stuff like this, with like Closer.
It really peaked in the 90s or the 70s or whatever. But
yeah,
yes.
That's how I know. Like, so like, I feel like the 2010s were like my 90s.
Yeah.
For
I get it. I get it. Trust me. I am old.
I don't like the music that the kids are listening to these
Amen.
Days.
Yeah.
I just don't.
Amen. Yes. Full cosine, full period,
like,
full stop.
Pop music used to be great.
Finally, okay. People sound like me. This
James,
is so exciting.
James,
welcome.
When that came on at the bar mitzvahs in 2010,
I'll bet that was...
That was the hit, yeah.
Yeah, that is pretty great.
Playing Pepsi to...
I need to see young Dan Wilson going crazy.
Oh, Buzz just
USA.
Bringing it. Yeah. Hey, let me tell you, when you were on the bar mitzvah circuit back as a kid,
wow, that was... fun.
I was fully on the bar mitzvah circuit.
It was a good time.
Did you have a
time.
Theme?
For me, no, I didn't do a theme, but my brother had a theme, and a lot of people did. Like, I kind of had a theme. It was like sportsy, but it wasn't like we didn't.
I was going
like,
to say, I feel like every guy
go
just
fully
sports.
Yeah, my buddy had Reggie White, it is. Another one had Lenny Dykstra, it is.
Okay.
Like, yeah, so.
I kind of shudder to think of what 16-year-old Elliot's theme would have been. I don't know if
13, right?
Yeah, 13. I thought it was
13.
Yeah,
no.
It's even worse.
It's not
16.
A
Quinceanera.
Yeah, exactly. But speaking about being old, my daughter graduates kindergarten today.
Wow.
We'll talk about feeling old. Shout out to Zoe.
Very nice.
Last day of kindergarten today. So my daughter isn't like about to be in grade school.
Wow.
And I am.
Did she get like a little diploma?
Completely shook by it. No, there is no like graduation or anything like that. Just
I'm
driving straight from here to a park in Philly, and we're all, you know, all the parents and the kids will go have a day at the park.
Wow.
And afternoon at the
good
park.
Weather for it, too.
Good weather. So shout out to Zoe and her graduating class. What a thrill. First grade,
class
I feel incredibly
of 2025.
Old. Yeah, the kindergarten.
Yeah.
You made it to first grade. We
the
did
reunion
it.
Will be crazy.
All right, 215-592-9494. We want to talk to a lot of callers. Where you at with the Phillies? Your panic meter in. The Eagles, plus you can react to this Twitter poll question today, sponsored by Armand Chevrolet in 2025. Armand Chevrolet is proudly celebrating 25 years of serving the automotive needs of the Delaware Valley. Together, let's drive Armand Chevy. .com. And the question is, should the Eagles give Saquon Barkley a similar amount of touches in 2025 as they did in 2024? Elliot says, absolutely. What do you say? 215-592-9494. Again, we want to get to a lot of calls this segment. Get on the line now. Let's talk to one of our favorites, Ken in Cinnamon. What up, Ken?
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
What up, Ken? Good to hear from you, man.
What a privilege to get to talk to Elliot 2 days in a row. And
the privilege is all mine.
Elliot, I'm becoming more and more convinced that your spirit animal is a 14-year-old girl. So
You might not be wrong.
You're not wrong. Like, you're not far off base in a lot of ways, yes.
And are my ears going bad, or did I hear Devin use the word the kids today? I mean, I'm sitting
you
over
did.
Here.
Yeah,
you
Ken,
hear
that.
Ken, yeah. So if I felt old when she said that, I can only imagine how old you felt.
She just had her birthday, and all of a sudden now she's just, you know,
know.
Shaming the youth.
Washed. Yeah. Old.
Happens quickly.
Washed.
As the Southerners would say, bless your heart.
Yeah. Or as Doug Peterson would say about Jason Peters.
Yes, yeah.
True, correct. I am not panicking on the Phillies, and the reason I'm not panicking on the Phillies is because this is exactly what I expected. James, I think you know this a little bit. I have been saying for a long time, because I firmly believe no team is serious about winning a World Series when Johan Rojas gets 400-plus at-bats in a season. It's just – They can't be serious about winning a World Series with the construction of this lineup, with an outfield that is just, you know, made up of a bunch of guys who are going to deliver nothing at the plate. There are just too many people on this roster that, you know, have to get hot in order to produce anything. And when they're not hot, they're just not good.
Yeah.
Max Kepler had the whiff of Whit Merrifield 2025 to me when they signed him. And he's been a little better than Whit Merrifield.
Yeah, but not much. Yeah, especially late. Like, he's really fallen off a cliff.
Yeah, and the problem is, like, I keep hearing people talk about Justin Crawford. And the people are looking at his numbers, but they're not watching him play.
Yeah, you're right about this, Ken. He has a ground ball rate of 60%. Yeah. He's got a lot of infield singles, which in the major leagues, those usually turn into outs more often. He's, you know, so I do think that's a good point, Ken, that he's batting 340, but he's still striking out. Like, it's not a, you know, he's not out there, you know, just a Tony Gwynn. You know what I mean?
Yes. He's not ready to hit major league pitching. He probably.
He might not be. He might not be.
Well, I don't know if they even keep this statistic, but if they do, I would bet you that he leads the International League in infield hits.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, Ken, he is – when he comes in the majors, he will be one of the fastest players in the sport the moment he steps – like, he is Trey Turner fast. He is – so I do think that he will get a higher preponderance of infield hits than the vast majority of players. But to your point, in the majors, he's not going to bat 340 on infield hits.
Yeah, I don't see a guy that moves the needle for me as, in terms of a hitter – beyond Johan Rojas, I mean, I think you're looking at a kid that's going to come up here and hit 200. So, I mean, we already have plenty of those guys.
And, yeah, I think, like, too, just I don't love the idea of bringing him up just because they need him. Like, if and I trust both your guys' baseball opinions. Like, if you guys don't think he's ready for major league at-bats.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I want him to come up when he is ready to come up. I don't want to risk his development just because they've messed up the roster.
Well, I think the bigger issue is there's no way you can have any faith that Dave Dombrowski is going to make an impactful move at the trade deadline.
100%.
That's going to make this team measurably better. If you have that belief, then it is faith.
Ken, I agree that based on what he's done here, we shouldn't have faith in it. I agree with you, but you act like it's impossible. Dave Dombrowski has had great trade deadlines in Major League Baseball. He has shown that he can go into a trade deadline, make the moves that need to be made, and win a World Series because of it. He did it in Boston. So, like, I agree with your point here. I don't have faith in him, but that doesn't mean it's an impossibility.
But he hasn't done it here, right?
This is a very small portion of a very long career for Dave Dombrowski.
Dave Dombrowski is absolutely going to the Hall of Fame. But when he gets inducted to the Hall of Fame, nothing about his Hall of Fame resume is going to be supported by his time here in Philadelphia.
And not nothing. I think that's unfair, dude. Look, Ken, I think that, and I've said it before, I'll say it again, I think the thing that almost all Phillies fans underrate about Dave Dombrowski is how he has made this a winning organization behind the scenes. Like the Brian Barbers, the Preston Mattinglys, all these guys. The reason we're talking about having four top 50 prospects and Mick Abel and all these guys on top of it, like, is because they completely changed the way they do business behind the scenes. And Dave Dombrowski was the guy who did that. So, like, I think we do have to give the guy credit. He has not done nothing here. They did end a 10-year, a decade-long, playoff-less drought and then went to the World Series and have been a playoff team for going to be likely four straight years. So, like, I get your point, but I think you go too far on that.
Well, I mean, that's a fair point about the the way he has upgraded the entire system.
He's shown them what it's like to be a winning organization. Dave Dombrowski knows what a winning organization looks like, and the Phillies look like a winning organization behind the scenes now in a way they did not before.
Well, they don't look like a winning baseball team to me.
Well, they do, Ken. That's not fair. I mean, they have a winning record. They are probably a playoff team. The point is, they don't look like a World Series winning team, which is, at this point, all we care about. Ken, you got an answer for us?
Yeah, well, actually, I do. I mean, and this is such a goat in its category is that even, like, my Jewish friends, when they want to cheat, they want to cheat for one thing and one thing only. Bacon is the goat of meat. There is nothing like bacon. Mm.
So that's a very interesting answer, Ken.
Disagree.
Great call. I don't know.
Like,
I think you might be right about it.
Hot take, I do not like bacon.
Wow. Well, that is a very hot take.
I don't eat a ton of bacon, but it's very delicious when you do eat it.
Yeah, bacon is delicious.
Wait, so when you do...
So this is... Sausage. You realize you are clearly in the minority here. Like, this is...
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
So,
but, like, also, said, like, maybe a breakfast meat, I could understand how that would...
So I say goat meat is a little aggressive, but I think it might be.
We got Wagyu beef.
But I agree to your point that it is not as big a gap as Ken makes it out to be. But, look, I think it's an interesting answer, but I agree. Probably not a winning answer, especially because he's clearly already lost Evans. Let's keep it rolling from Ken to Kenny. Our guy Kenny in the Dirty 30. What up, Kenny?
Hey, guys, how you doing? I just need to clean a couple things up for you guys you spoke about earlier today. Anybody who listens to the morning show knows that the second smartest person in the world is Joe DiCamera.
That's true. That's a good point. He might even put himself ahead of Einstein.
It's so funny, Ken. When that was being said, I could hear Joe, had he been here, being like he thought that he was going to say him.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yes, I thought the same thing, Elliot. I mean, if Joe was there, we know what it was said.
100%.
The other thing, so... I turned 60 on Monday, and I've always said that
happy birthday, buddy.
Thank you. I don't listen to any music after 1985, so I get what you guys were saying.
Yeah. For me, it's like post-2020-ish.
So, I mean, I think it's something that just carries through all the generations. I mean,
yeah, it totally is. It's a cliche almost. Yeah. You know, like music was better in my day, you know? Now, the funny thing is, Kenny, that we actually are right. You know, unlike other generations.
That's what me and Devin think, too, to be fair.
Like, the 70s, the music was just better. Like, it just was. I'm sorry. Like, it is what it is sometimes, you know?
I mean, there's nothing that gets me more fired up than when you hear the riff of Freebird there at the end.
If Dan Wilson doesn't play Freebird coming back now. I mean, I have it in my I don't know how folders work now. We changed the way we do things. I don't know if Dan can find it. But the guitar solo Freebird I've played many times coming back, and it is a banger. All right, Kenny. What do you got on the Phils, my friend?
I don't care what Rob Thompson says. Lizardo's got to be tipping off his pitches. He could be that good, and then suddenly just get ripped like he's like that Abbott guy we had about 20 years ago. I mean, it's just, you can't fall
Paul Abbott
if you're not tipping pitches. Yeah.
So let me ask you guys this, and I'll show a bit of my baseball ignorance here. But, like, so in football, right, like, you can turn on the tape and say, okay, when this guy's, like, you know, with offensive linemen or defensive linemen, like, the way their hands are, you can tell if they're preparing for the run, like, whatever. Wouldn't, if he was tipping his pitches, isn't that something we would be able to see?
The coaching staff should, no, not necessarily us.
That's
again,
my question. Yeah.
No. Okay. Like, that's baseball minutia. That's, like, the stuff where Elliot, like, if his, like, glove, if he tips his glove this way, that means it's a fastball or this way. Like, it's all about the windup, the way they're, like, there's something in, theoretically, there's something in his delivery, his mechanics or something that is letting people know whether he's dropping his arm a little bit more means he's going to throw the sweeper rather than the fastball or whatever. It's, like, little stuff.
Right.
So, no, I don't, like, sometimes there are things that when you watch replay, you're like, oh, I can kind of see
that. That's what I'm asking.
But no. This is stuff that, like, the average baseball fan is not going to notice someone tipping pitches.
Yeah, to give up 20 runs in two games when he was pitching so dominant, something's not right. I mean, there could be a possibility of an injury like Nola had, but I just don't, he doesn't appear to be injured. It's just something isn't right to give up that many runs when you were pitching so well. So, yeah, I hope they figure it out.
I agree with you, Kenny. You got an answer for us?
Look, I don't care whether you say this is a win or not, but I will die on this hill. The Eagle fans are the greatest fans I've ever seen. The way we travel, the way other teams perceive us when we show up, I've never seen anything like it. And I've been going to live sport events for all four sports my whole life.
So Kenny, great pandering answer, and I appreciate it. I mean, I agree with you, but it is a little pandery.
A little bit.
His traveling thing is correct. Like, I don't see other teams travel, obviously.
No, I think we have the best fans. I mean, it's inarguable.
I was thinking about this earlier in the week. Like, when I think about the trip to New Orleans in the Super Bowl, and obviously, like, the dagger.
Can you say it right?
New Orleans. Whatever. But New Orleans. Yeah.
I thought we fixed this at the Super Bowl.
I feel like a lot of people must say New Orleans.
No.
I feel
like that. People get pretty mad at you when you say it.
Okay. But when I think back to that, like the dagger, the pick six, the don, like all. I mean, Devin, you can speak to it. You were there. Like, mm-hmm. I think a lot about how I've never seen a crowd take over a Super Bowl the way Eagles fans took that over. Like, there was
Even from the Bradley Cooper chant, you could hear it.
Yeah, no Chiefs fans there.
Yeah, so it was where I was, like, it was hard
on the sideline.
Yeah, could you feel it on the field?
Yeah.
No big deal.
Yeah, I mean, you
could. The players, no big deal.
It was hard to tell if it was. So, like, clearly there were a ton of Eagles fans, like, around the tunnel where the Eagles run out and like behind the Eagles bench, but I couldn't tell because I wasn't over on the other side of the field. Like, okay, did they just do this because like this is the Eagles side versus the Chiefs side? But then once the game started, you could just hear
it was
Eagles
crazy.
Fans absolutely overpowering and drowning out any Chiefs fans that were in the building. It was really cool.
Which makes sense, by the way. I mean, the Chiefs have won 3 straight Super Bowls. Like, you would think the Eagles fans who already travel well, who hadn't won in 2022, like, it makes more sense just logically that there would be more Eagles fans.
I will say, like, walking around New Orleans, like, ahead of the game, days before, weekend before, I did see a lot of Chiefs fans. So, like, in terms of fandoms, I know that their fans are also passionate, but that just shows how intense Eagles fans are, because we still managed to, like, I think in any other situation Chiefs fans would probably be the more dominant force.
I thought the week leading up to the game there was a lot of Eagles fans. Like, I think there were way more Eagles fans on Bourbon Street and stuff than Chiefs fans. I guess you disagree based on that.
On Saturday I saw a lot of Chiefs fans.
Well, I think the difference is Eagles fans came earlier than the Chiefs fans did. Like, they were there all week. But to Ken's point, I mean, I go to every away game, and like, fans of Philly obviously does a great job with this. Like, they take over almost every stadium. It's true. And I think what's also worth pointing out, no fan base ever takes over the link.
No.
No, it's a great point.
No.
The last time that happened, I mean, yeah.
It's a great point. All right,
215-592-9494.
Coming up in a minute, we'll talk to these two Eagles insiders about being down at OTAs this week, what they saw, anything interesting from the practice field. First, let's go back to the phones and talk to Jerry in Radnor. What up, Jerry?
Hey, everyone. So I'm looking at this Philly season maybe fundamentally different than others are. If you look at what they did in the offseason, do I think they want to win the World Series? Yes. Do I think they view this is the absolute year we have to win? No.
Yeah,
they didn't.
I think you're probably right about that.
Prospect. And I'll disagree with Ken. Look, if Justin Crawford hits 349 like he is now in AAA, if a guy hits 295 in the majors, that's a massive upgrade.
Well, of course it is, but I do think, Jerry, I don't think because he's hitting 340 that means he's going to hit 295. Like, there is a massive leap between AAA and the majors, you know?
I understand that. Like, I understand what you're saying, but what I think the Phillies view as their additions are Justin Crawford and Andrew Painter this year. I don't see him trading any of their big.
I agree with you. I don't think they're trading Miller. I don't think they're trading Painter. I don't think they're trading Arun Escobar or those type of guys. But I do think they could trade McCabe. I do think they could trade Otto Kemp. Like, I do think that. I think they're going to make moves to add to the main. I get your point, and overall, I agree with you in that I think the Phillies look at their window as being longer than just this season, partially because they have these prospects to reinforce and kind of mesh with the older guys as they kind of age here. But, like, this is a window right now, and this is a team that has been to the playoffs 4 years in a row, like, or about to be 4 years. They're going to add. Like, they will make trades at the deadline, Jerry, and they will trade a prospect who at least matters to a certain level, but I agree with you. I don't think they're going to move the top guys.
Yeah. I look at it this way. I wouldn't trade Abel either, because you can have a rotation of Wheeler, Painter, Lizardo.
Abel
and Nola.
And
what about Sanchez?
And look, I would trade Nola. I know.
But who's hold up? I get that. What are you trading Nola for, dude? He's got 5 years left on a $175 million contract, and he's already regressed. Like, you're not getting anything of value for Nola. Like, that would be a you can't trade Nola.
James, you jumped down my throat before I get a chance to finish my thought.
Okay, go ahead.
My thought is that there's an opportunity over the next year to transition to the next run. Right, you can lose $25 million off the salary base with Castellanos. You know, if you have to pay 12 of Nola's 27, there'll be teams that aren't willing to give you a lot. But you, if Nola agrees, you can move him at 15.
Yeah, that's a good point about if Nola agrees, he'll be 10-5 by the deadline.
If Taiwan pitches well enough and can eat $3 or $4 million of his, you could save $50 million.
Man, I think you are. Look, they couldn't even trade. They couldn't even trade Alec Bohm this offseason. They desperately tried to trade a guy who was an all-star last year, had 40-something doubles, whatever. Like, they couldn't even move that guy. I think you're vastly overrating the value of a Taiwan Walker, of an Aaron Nola, or whatever, to the rest of the league. Like, yes, you could give them away, maybe, but I'm not even sure you can give Taiwan away. And honestly, I'm not sure you can give Nola away unless you give a prospect up or something like that. Like, I think you're vastly overrating their value right now.
Well, my difference is I'm looking at salary flexibility.
Yeah, you're looking at...
They have a bunch of young starting pitchers, and Nola's not going to the bullpen. So you have to make tough decisions, and if you don't get a ton back, but you get salary flexibility to then fix the catcher position, left field, a bullpen piece, I'm willing to do that. We may disagree, and that's fine. And I don't necessarily
disagree with your philosophical thinking. I disagree with your what you think you can get for those guys, or even the ability to trade certain guys. But Jerry, I think great call, man. I think it's a fascinating thought, and I do think that. I think a lot of people are looking at it as like, have to win now, have to win now, and have to win now, and I don't know that the Phillies necessarily look at it that way. Jerry, you got an answer for us for a go-to-goats?
I do, and I'm changing my answer now that I understand what you're looking for better. I'm going to go with George Washington. I don't know that he's been dead. Joe DeCamera would probably enjoy this more, but he held the Continental Army and our country together.
So you're saying GOAT general? Like, what GOAT of what?
No. The GOAT of presidents, the GOAT of military leaders.
You got to pick one, my friend. You got to pick one thing.
The GOAT of military leaders.
Oh, okay. I should have picked presidents.
No, I know. I think he's probably... I don't know that he's... Jerry, good call.
I kind of like military leader.
So here's the thing.
But there's Napoleon for that.
To your point. There are many. You're right. There's Alexander the friggin' Great. You know, there's Genghis Khan. There are these people who dominated large portions of the world. You know,
But I think maybe we're thinking of this a little different. Like, when I think of presidents, I think George Washington is the first one you think of. Like, that makes him the GOAT to me.
No.
You're talking more
that's
like resume.
That's actually a good
point.
I think it matters, but that's part of the GOAT discussion. But the GOAT discussion has to go more than who's the first person that pops in your mind.
But I think that I agree with that, but that speaks to being the GOAT.
Look, there's an argument that George Washington might be the GOAT president, but we're talking about looking for the biggest gap. I agree. He's probably more likely the GOAT president than he is the GOAT military leader.
Yes,
I agree
that's
with
the
that.
Point
But in his defense to that answer, George Washington took a group of like ragtag randos off the street.
Look at you quoting Hamilton here.
Wow.
And I didn't do that intentionally, I promise. And beat an organized British military. Like, that's pretty impressive if you think about it.
Wow.
The American Revolution was pretty impressive.
Did George Washington overachieve 215?
Absolutely. He did. Well, I think the biggest thing with Washington, this kind of goes to the present thing, ironically, is I think the him choosing not to be king, essentially, him saying, no, we are going to have term limits. No one will be president for longer than this amount of time. Like, I'm not going to be president forever. Like, that was the most consequential thing outside of winning the war that Washington did. All right, 215-592-9494. We're back to the phones in a sec. But we have the unique opportunity to not just have one pair of eyes down at Eagles practice week. We had two, both of you guys, Elliot and Devin, down at Eagles practice. Elliot, I'll start with you.
Well, I kind of like when it's just one set of eyes because no one can tell me if I'm wrong or not. Yeah,
I feel like we got some fact checking here. Elliot, what were your let's go back and forth. Give me one of your biggest takeaways from being down there.
Yeah, so I got two big takeaways. So I'll go with this.
We'll ping pong between the two.
Yeah. So, you know, Jalen Hurts. What he's become as a quarterback, I think, really shows off in practice. So Jalen, this last practice we were at was 15 of 17. The practice before that, he was 20 of 21. Overall, I think he's like 35 of 38, if I'm doing the math quickly there correctly. Like, There is such a difference between what he was when I used to watch him practice even 2 years ago, 3 years ago, than what he is now. You can just see the veteran quarterback, like, player that he has become. And, you know, the ball just never hits the ground. It never hits the ground when Jalen is quarterbacking now in practice. Even in training camp last year, you know, obviously we all remember only one interception in 331 attempts. So, like, just watching him out there, and he's doing it without Devontae, without AJ, essentially without Saquon, because in these practices, Saquon barely doesn't really touch the ball. So my main takeaway from the last practice would just be Jalen's maturity as a quarterback is happening in front of our eyes, and it's cool to watch.
Devin?
I'm going to do an observation that we haven't really touched on. That's Ben Van Sumeren. So before he got injured, he was
a Richie type observation.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. Just wait till I bring up Lewis scene. Yeah. Just kidding, I'm not going to. But he was a linebacker and a fullback, and he was just listed as a fullback. He's coming back from injury. And he was practicing with the offense. So yeah. I know that Jeffrey Lurie, when he was on the morning show, a month or two ago, he said, you know, we're going to lean into the fullback position this season. And
it was actually exactly a month ago, right? It was May 5th or whatever.
Yeah. Him. And then also Ty Robinson. I know he's a defensive tackle. He played fullback for, I think it was eight plays with Nebraska, and they scored 7 of the 8 times that he was in at fullback.
So a goal line
such
guy,
a giant.
I guess. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So part of me is like, did they bring him in case the tush push was banned just to like have?
Well, I thought about that with AJ Dillon and some other thoughts. Yeah.
Right. Also, speaking of AJ Dillon, I didn't know it was possible. And Elliot, you can back me up on this, for someone to make Saquon's legs look small.
It's crazy.
He is a beast.
I mean, it's Quadzilla for a reason. All right,
Quadzilla for sure.
Elliot, give me another takeaway.
So I'm worried about Jahad Campbell, and it's not a health thing. I liked the Jahad Campbell pick because I thought they were going to play him at edge. If their plan is to make him a full-time linebacker, and I don't think that's the full plan, but being at practice on Tuesday, Vic Fangio spent a lot of time with Jahad Campbell one-on-one, which I think is awesome, like, for Jahad, right? Like, to get to learn from Vic Fangio and the fact that he's coaching him, like, that's all awesome to me. But I want them to utilize him at a more important position, a position they need more help. Like, I think he will take edge snaps this year, but watching the way they're teaching him so much the inside linebacker position, I hope that it is just they're teaching him that first because it's more complicated, and that's what Vic said. But if he becomes a full-time linebacker for this team, I am way less, like, excited about the pick than I was.
215-592-9494 if you want to talk any Eagles, react to any of this. Coming back to the phones in a minute. And Elliot, you and I generally disagree on that. I'm fine if he's a great inside linebacker, if that's what they think he is. Not, we have a natural disagreement on that, but I get your point. He is obviously a better pick if he end up able to rush the passer, but if he's a Zach Bond type guy for them, like, I'm happy. Obviously you would be if he turns into that, but I'm happy with that being the philosophy of the pick. Devin, give me one more observation down there.
So it was a big defensive day. So kind of twofold here. So in practice, like we saw in practice, we heard from Vic Fangio before practice. And then after, heard from a lot of the defensive guys like Nolan Smith, Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, list goes on. And I know that a big conversation topic has been, you know, will they lose that edge, that swagger without C.J. Gardner-Johnson? And listening to these guys talk, like even a guy like Adoree. I always say Adoree.
Wow. Adoree. Wow. It's like
that's
some T.J. Hush-Mandez.
Goodness. Jackson.
Damn, Wilson might have to cut that audio.
Oh, please don't. but just guys like him, and even listening to Reed Blankenship spoke last, like, they're going to be just fine. I think that they still have that edge. They're still going to have that swagger, even without C.J. Gardner-Johnson, even without Darius Slay. And that gives me a lot of hope because I was legitimately worried about that. Mm-hmm. And then second observation, Jordan Davis, like, physically looks like he – like, you can see that he is in the best shape of his life. And I love that he's become a Peloton guy. Like, he said he fell in love with Peloton. I love Peloton. Talks about his favorite instructors. Yeah. And it's clearly working for him. And I'm just happy that he's, like, really – he clearly looks like he's taking care of himself.
So, really quickly, because I wasn't able to be at the Jordan Davis presser, but I saw your tweets and the videos you posted. He does look in better shape.
He does.
But here's, like, the only counter I would give to that. There was a quote, and tell me if you think I'm misinterpreting it, and if I am, then I am, where he said something along the lines of, they picked up the fifth-year option, so I might as well make sure they get their money's worth. It's like – Man, you've been in the NFL for 3 years already. And then he also said, you know, last year I knew about what I had to do, but I didn't put it into practice. Yeah. And I feel like we all just kind of brush by these comments. Like, look, I get he's a young guy. We expect these guys to be professionals the minute they step in the door. That's unfair. He was 21, 22. I certainly am not the professional now that I was then. But, like, man, it's kind of disappointing to hear him basically admit for 3 years he's not been getting in shape. And now we're all of a sudden supposed to, like, you know, be all excited that he's taking it seriously. Yeah. There's a disappointing element to that as well.
I totally agree with what you're saying. And even, you know, Vic Fangio saying, I'm just going to duck answering that one when he was asked why it took so long.
I think it shows you how they feel.
I think the positive is he found something that works for him in order to stay in shape and stay conditioned in the offseason. Yeah. And that's a plus.
It's just disappointing he took him 3 years to find biking.
Yeah, look, I get it. Look, first of all, weight and stuff, especially for a guy his size, can be really hard to manage. And second, like, to your point, as a kid, like, I'm just happy he's figuring it out. Like, honestly, I get your point, but, like, don't care. Like, you know, first of all, they won a Super Bowl with him last year, so, like, particularly don't care that much. But if he's great this year, if he's great next year, like, don't care. Like, we got there, you know? Like, I get it, but, like, you got to – I think guys find their time at time, you know? So I'm not going to kill him for it. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phones and talk to our pal Rick in Easton. What up, Rick?
Hey, guys. So, Lucas, by the way, my granddaughter is going into first grade, like your child.
No way. Wow.
And by the way, I was the Torah reader for my children's bar and bat mitzvah, and I love bacon.
That's awesome. Yep. Oh, there you go. Well done, Rick.
Yes. Jews can't eat pork.
It's we are. I am Jewish, and
people
I love bacon
don't
as well.
Understand that.
Exactly.
Anyway,
yes.
So a couple of things. Clean up a few things. Die Hard is definitely a Christmas music.
Thank
from
you.
Argyle saying this is Christmas music. John McClane hides the gun under Christmas wrap, and Holly's Rolex was a Christmas bonus.
And he's wearing the Santa hat. There's the tree in Nakatomi Plaza. They play Christmas music throughout the movie. Like, what are we doing here?
It's like, what's that famous quote? You know it when you see it. It's just not a Christmas movie.
Yeah, you're
I don't
wrong.
Know what to tell you. The fact it's even a debate. No,
the movie said it's a Christmas movie.
But the fact he has to defend it shows that it was not.
No, it shows that knuckleheads like
there's never any debate.
I have to go against it. Because it's like, oh, I want my Christmas movie.
No
to
one
not
debates
have
if Home Alone or Elf or any of those movies are Christmas movies. It's the only one people debate. And why is that? Because it's not.
Because
it's fine.
It is.
It can still be
because
a good movie, but it's just not a Christmas movie.
We have a new debate topic for next year's debate.
Yeah,
I think this is a very old one, but I'm with you. All right, Rick, what do you got on the birds?
So I want to go with the birds real quick here, and just hang in there with me before we poke holes in this. I grew up with the Steelers being dominant in the 70s, and I want to tell you something. If the Steelers didn't win 4 rings, all those players would not be Hall of Famers. I am drawing a parallel. If this Eagles team did not have to worry about free agency, is Saquon not our Franco Harris? Is possibly the year that Zach Baum and Nolan Smith can be and N'Kobe can be our Jack Lambert and Ham? Bradshaw, he took a long time to get into that starting lineup. If you know, he was not a great quarterback in the very beginning. He managed that team. Can Devontae and AJ be our Swan and Stallworth? Our O-line definitely has more All-Pros. And can Mitchell and Dijon. Can they be our Mel Blunt?
Gotta say it, Dijon.
Well, you know what's interesting too? Because it's a great point, but my takeaway might be a little different. How you talk about these old teams that had so much talent on them, right? And because we're in the moment with the Eagles right now, we do a lot of like, well, is Jalen great because he has this guy? Is Saquon? We never do that with old teams as much. Like maybe with Troy Aikman, we do it a little bit, but like I think. Ultimately, in 20 years, when we look back at this Eagles team, we won't look at it as like,
totally agree.
As like, well, Jalen was great because of this. We'll look back and go, this team was one of the most dominant teams in the NFL. They have been for arguably 3 years, and obviously I think that's going to continue. So,
and there's so many guys who have had great supporting cast around them and not succeeded. Like, it's become one of the more annoying talk to me personally, one of the more annoying talk. Like, at a certain point, you just say, all right, like, the guy's good. He wins. Yeah. Like, accept it. Rick, you got an answer for us? Go ahead.
And the point with Hurts is he doesn't have to do what Brady did in New England. He just has to manage this team.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
And I think that's the key. And I think they're on their way to do some very special things. Okay, my goat of all goats. I think this guy was better at his sport than Gretzky was in his sport. You had the great Mark Spitz and the Katie Ledeckis and all the Australian swimmers. Mm-hmm. How can Phelps. Mike Phelps not be the goat of all goats?
It's a good answer, Rick. It's a good answer. That's what I was
it
saying.
It is a good one.
After the Gretzky thing, I was like, oh, maybe some Olympic things that could. That was one of them. By the way, I will show Elliot. I do have a potential in my mind winning answer. There could be ones that I'm not thinking about, but I do think if someone says this as the goat of, you see what I'm pointing to?
Yeah, I do.
That
yeah.
could be a pretty,
it's
pretty,
a good one.
Pretty big one.
It's a good
one. All right. 215-592-949. Let's keep it rolling. Talk to Joe in Mayfair. What up, Joe?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
What's up, Joe?
Living the dream. I
Amen.
Do have a little bit of a beef. A little bit of a beef.
Ooh.
There's nothing wrong. Listener, nothing wrong
with
it.
The beef. Is it listener on listener? Is it listener? Do you have beef with me? Do you have beef with Elliot? What's going on here? Devin?
I have a beef with James Seltzer this
Oh, wow. No. Let's go. Bring it. I'm ready.
Because you are very passionate, and when you get your foot in the sand, you don't budge.
Mm-hmm.
What I have a beef with, it's mostly you, but it's also the camera who's not there. But anointing players to a place in Philly's aura that aren't there yet, that haven't done it here yet, that we have this hope and a prayer that, like, Lizardo is going to be some Cy Young guy when it's only June.
Well, Joe, no, I get your point. I'm just talking potential Lizardo. Like, we have pointed out that he's, you know, had injuries and hasn't put it together for a full season. It's just I like the trade when they made it because he has high potential and he had a good start. Like,
correct.
I'm not saying Lizardo's a superstar
yet. When someone comes across and says that, like, Ranger Suarez, who does have 8 postseason starts at the Phillies, not just one, James, 8, who has an ERA of 1.93 in the postseason, who's already done it here, and just to say Lizardo's better than him, he's got better stuff.
Oh, he does have better stuff. That's all I'm saying.
But that does it. But it does it. But what I'm saying is when you have to get it done when it matters the most, you don't know who's done what.
You're right.
Like when the morning, show. I know Bryce Harper is all that in a bag of chips, but we forget how dominant Brian Howard was in 6 years here of dominance in Major League Baseball, who's won a title, and we are anointing Bryce Harper the second or third best Philly.
Well, Bryce is better. I mean, he is. You know,
more talent, but has not done 45, 50, 55 homers, 140 RBIs, well, and dominated the sport. Bryce
it's
Harper
also era-dependent. Like, no one does that anymore, except, like, Aaron Judge and Shohei. Like, everyone was hitting 50 homers back in the, you know, early aughts. Like,
James, but people do it. That's how Ryan
but
Howard
you do have,
did
no,
it.
You have to, be era context-dependent. Like, that's what we do with all these guys. Like, you don't look at someone hitting 73 home runs and think about that now. Like, and not just that, it's that everyone was. Like, Ryan Howard hit in an era where guys hit a lot more home runs than today's era. Like, it is just a factual part of the sport. You know what I mean? So I agree with you. I'm not trying to demean Ryan Howard. I'm just saying you do have to look at the when they played and the numbers in context to the era and the league they were playing in.
I don't.
Of course you do. How do you judge someone from 1970 versus someone versus now unless you look at them against their competition at the time and how everyone else in the league was doing? It's all era and context dependent. Of course it is.
James, you act like Howard played in the 70s or 80s. He played in 2000.
No, I'm acting like he played in the era where the most home runs in the history of the sport were hit.
Well, no, that was the steroid era.
Yes, what do you? But 06 is 8 years. But it's 98, 99, so 2000, 2001. That's like the crux of it.
Howard started in 06 through 11.
Howard won his MVP in 06, buddy. He started in 05. Correct. And that's all part of it, though. That's the remnants of it, man. Like, you look at what guys were hitting then. Like, 50 home runs was not nearly as rare in 06, 05, 07 as it was now. Like, that's just factual.
Okay, so Mike Smith still wasn't the greatest third base of all time because he played in a different era than other players.
What are you talking? Joe, do you understand what I'm saying? No, Mike Schmidt is the best third baseman of all time. Period.
Well, I don't think
point.
That Bryce Harper's done more in his career in a Phillies uniform than Ryan Howard did.
So let me hop in here because I think I understand. Yeah, I think I understand what you're saying. Like, there was a point, like when Bryce hit the Bedlam at the Bank, and like where Bryce was legitimately being discussed, and I was doing it too. So I'm not like shaming anyone that did or anything, but like as you know, the most clutch Phillies ever. Like what? Blah blah blah. I think what has happened over the past year is as the team has started to fall apart a little bit, like. I think what he's trying to say is Ryan Howard's accomplishments in a Phillies uniform surpass Bryce's accomplishments 100%. In a Phillies uniform. 100%. So while
thank
Bryce
you.
Might be a better player overall, like, hold on. He might be a better player overall. I think what we did, and James, you know this about me. I love riding the roller coaster of emotion and saying, this is the best guy ever. Like, I get that. But I think over the past year and a half, this Phillies core, like, their star has, like, faded a little bit. And it makes me appreciate more what the 08 team did and the fact that they actually won the World Series.
Oh, I agree with that. My whole point is it's all era dependent. Like, you have to judge them against the players they're playing against and the time they're playing against and the numbers that Ryan Howard put up. Like, Ryan Howard in 06 when he won the MVP didn't even lead baseball
categories. I think you're saying something different than what he's saying. I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, he's saying Ryan Howard's a better Philly than Bryce Harper was. And I think that 100%. Is that is true. So while we're not saying
I don't think Harper's done as a Philly yet though. Like,
no,
I don't know
that's
that we
true
can...
too. Yeah, but like when he hit Bedlam at the Bank and they were like Red October impossible to beat at Citizens Bank,
getting into one of those things like with T.O. Like we talk about, T.O. was here for 1 year.
Yeah.
And we talk about him with – we did it yesterday. It was like, who's the best Eagles receiver? A.J. Brown, T.O. Like, so the point is you can only look at them in the moment they're here and what they're doing. Now, I agree with you, Joe. Like, the full breadth of what Bryce Harper has done as a Philly – probably isn't passing yet, but it's going to be. Like, Bryce Harper most likely will go down as a better Philly than Ryan Howard.
I don't know if that's as true as it used
to
be.
I think it will be. Like,
it might be.
I think it will be.
I think you're way off, James. I'll end it with this topic. When Schwarber is in the same breath the last 3 years of dominance, he's in the same breath, he's in the same category for what he does for this team as Harper. You can't go
Well, this year he has been. He wasn't really.
And last year, too, for parts of the year. Well, I mean,
for parts, but they're very similar. But like, Schwarber,
he does have great playoff numbers.
I mean, Bryce Harper is one of the great playoff hitters of all time in the history of the sport. Like, his numbers are up there with Babe Ruth.
100%.
But they're up there with Babe Ruth and stuff, you know? Anyway, all right, Joe, give us an answer. You got an answer for a go-to goats? I get your point. It's fun to battle with you.
That's all right, but no, I mean, the goat of goats, it's already been given. I mean, not 9 MVPs, 10 scoring titles, and he has more assists than anyone's got points.
It's already said. Elliot.
He's definitely going to be the winner.
No, it wasn't a caller who said it. It was one of us. I can't remember. Was it Elliot or Dan?
He's talking about Wayne Gretzky.
I know he is.
Yeah, Dan said it.
Dan said it. Where'd he go? He just left? Well, he could have. It wouldn't have counted. He's just like, well, that wins.
I don't think
after all that.
Well, that's a bad.
He should have said Ryan Howard.
And look, that would have been funny. I get his point, but I think that like that's a semantics argument. Like, who cares?
I think
at the end of Bryce Harper's career in Philly, we can really judge whether he was better than Ryan Howard. But that's not something we even talk about a lot. Like, it's not like we talk about like Bryce Harper's the best Philly I've ever seen. Like, that doesn't happen.
But I think the larger point where I do agree with him to an extent is
crowning people too early.
Yes, but I'm okay with that because I'm all right with riding the emotion. Yeah. Of a day to day. So I have no shame in crowning someone Monday and then saying Friday I was wrong. Like, that's fine. But I do think, like, a year ago, you could have. I mean, we did Mount Rushmore week and people were putting Bryce Harper on the Phillies' Mount Rushmore. Like, I think as this team, like, as they lose to the Mets and they choke against the Diamondbacks, like, it does change how I view Bryce Harper and this team. When, like, Ryan Howard won a World Series, Jimmy Rollins won a World Series, Chase Utley, like, those guys did something this team didn't. It doesn't mean that Bryce Harper is not a better player than Ryan Howard, because I think he probably is a better baseball player than us. But like, Ryan Howard accomplished more in a Phillies uniform, and I think 2 years ago, almost everyone in the city probably would have put Harper ahead of Ryan Howard. I think that's what he was saying. And now, I don't think that's the case.
I was never arguing that point. I don't really know where that came from.
Well, I think saying you and Joe crown people, which I don't agree with.
We all do when we're talking agreed. Sports. Yes, and guess what? I would still put Bryce Harper above Ryan Howard as a Philly. Like, we would talk about
it. Wow, okay.
Well, T.O., like, we're not talking about the breadth of the career. We're talking about the best player I've seen in Philly's uniform, right? Like, that's why T.O. can even be talked about with A.J. Brown. Like, A.J. Brown has had a way better Eagles career than T.O. He won a Super Bowl. He's had years like T.O. Like, it's inarguable. He's been here for 3 years, and he's done more than T.O. did it in his 1 year. But we still talk about T.O. as one of the two or three best Eagles.
Yeah, but see, where I would disagree with you is, like, I think Ryan Howard at his best was just as good, if not better, than Bryce has been at his best in a Phillies uniform.
I mean, Ryan Howard, the 1 year, the 306, 58 home runs was as good a year as you can have.
Yeah, that's what I'm...
Sure, but again, like, you can't just say, like, this... The one moment, like, I think that Harper's been better for longer, more consistently better. But look, Howard was a great home run hitter. Howard had great, like, Howard.
Yeah, I think the truth is they're very similar. Like, they're both outstanding players that were at their best.
Like, amazing. Bryce Harper is a better baseball player than Ryan Howard. Bryce Harper will be in the Hall of Fame. Ryan Howard is not close to the Hall of Fame. But, like,
but part of that is what Ryan, he did in Washington. I think is why.
Of course it is. Yeah, yes. Right. I don't understand where that argument came from. I'm not even talking about that. Like, what does that have to do with anything? He's just coming in with that we're crowning people.
Yeah. Well, it's made a good conversation.
Well, it feels like, but then on top of that, the part that I disagree with was you do have to look at the eras. You can't just say that because someone, like, if we're going to, we cannot compare players from the 70s to now or the 90s to now or whatever, or we can look at the era and what they did in the era and compare it to now. You know, like, you have to be consistent with that. Like I'm looking at home run leaders. Like, just off the top, it only goes 10 deep. 10 guys over 40 homers, a couple over 50. Like, last year, there were only 4 players who were over 40 home runs. Like, it just matters from 06 to now. Like, they're
right.
Like,
I agree, but Ryan Howard still accomplished more in a Phillies uniform than Bryce has as of right now. He has. I mean, he won a World Series.
He won a World Series. I care about World Series. Well, Harper won an MVP, too.
Yeah, no, I know, but so did Ryan Howard. So the World Series is the difference.
That's it.
So that's what I'm saying. He's accomplished more.
I guess so. Yeah.
And like, I mean, the 2011 team was better than any Phillies team Bryce has been on.
They
didn't win in the playoffs.
I mean, the 2022 team went way further than they did.
But that 2011 team.
So again,
that's better.
So then, how much is it the title versus whatever? It's a semantics argument. Like, to be completely honest, Joe, and great call. I don't care. I don't really care about the Harper versus Howard thing right now. The part that I care more about is looking at it era-dependent, and you can't judge things unless you judge it against the people they're playing in the era. You can't just say, oh, he had 58 home runs. That's better than Harper's ever had. We had 58 home runs at a time when people hit more home runs.
Right.
So I do think that matters. Sure. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Ed in Phoenixville. What up, Ed?
Good morning, guys. You know, with the absence of Joe DiCamera, it really feels like the kids' table at Christmas dinner. And I had so much more fun at the kids' table anyway.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, this is more fun. I think we can all agree with that. Yes.
So I've actually caught Elliot, you, and James. I've caught you almost say, like, three times. Let's get as many real ones in as – oh, wait a second.
I came so close. So close.
So interesting argument about the whole GOAT situation. I won't really touch on that, but I think regarding A.J. Dillon, it's more of like curiosity going into the season. I think we need to be really careful when we compare him to LeGarrette Blount, who some people
I'm so with you, dude.
He's one of the best playoff running backs of all time. He has like the fourth most rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, and A.J. Dillon has yet to do it in the NFL. Like, he has been a change of pace back with the Packers, and he has had some moments in games. A.J. Dillon has not had a great NFL career so far.
For sure. I think the comparison for me would just be when I watched him at an Eagles practice, like watching that dude run, it reminded me of how I felt when I would see LeGarrette Blount. LeGarrette Blount was bigger, I think.
And better. Just flat.
Yeah,
I mean,
for sure.
Much better resume, a much better player coming in.
For sure. I just mean A.J. Dillon like certainly has that physical runner about him.
Yeah, and it was funny because even when we brought Ajayi in 17 and 18, he still had that very violent running style.
Yeah.
I think, you know, there's a clear contrast in styles if you have to rely on Will Shipley for extended carries, which could, you know, affect their play calling somewhat. I think they'll be fine. I mean, Will Shipley's a dynamite weapon, and I can't wait to see how they utilize him in the passing game.
Well, yeah, I'm happy you brought up the passing game because one thing that has stood out at the two practices we've seen is he's caught a lot of passes, and I think they feel very comfortable giving him the ball in the flat, and they can't tackle at these practices, so you never know. But he's looked good. Like, he's looked dangerous with the ball in the flat. Like, he does make people miss. He's like a very twitchy athlete. So I think that'll be the main difference, that A.J. Dillon, I'd be surprised if he caught more than 10 passes this year. I could picture Will Shipley getting a target or two each game.
Yeah, and before I get to my GOAT thing, I just have a question for you. Is Jalen going under center at all in these mini camp practices, or are you still pretty much exclusively in the gun?
Yeah, so honestly, they've probably only done maybe 15 total reps of 11.
There aren't real pass reps.
Of 11
yeah.
on 11. I would say I just can't answer that. Like, because I have not noticed way more under center versus not.
I thought you were going to track it.
Well, I track the – yeah, I should check that. But, I mean, I don't know if you've noticed, Devin. I feel like it's looked similar to me. But it's only two practices.
Yeah,
it's hard
I think
to
it's too early.
Yeah,
to...
and it's like they don't even have pads on. Like, yeah. it's hard to really –
see what kind of wrinkles Petullo has moving forward. All right, Ed, what do you got as a go-to-goats?
It's kind of hard to argue that when you have a 200-meter time of 19.19 and a 100-meter of 9.58, the greatest sprinter of all time, Usain Bolt.
Yeah, that's actually a great answer. Like, that's a potential winner. Usain Bolt really is a cut above everyone else who has done that.
He also could be the GOAT of having a name that is so perfect
So that's one of my favorite things in life. And shout out, I wish we could enjoy it more, but shout out to the Braves blowing a 6-run lead in the ninth inning last night.
Oh, yeah,
the pitcher who did it, Blewett. His name is Blewett. Like, I'm
not a great name for a reliever.
Devin, I love that. I am such a big fan. I mean, DeAndre Swift was one of those guys. Like, I love the guys whose names match what they do or what they are. It is one of my favorite dumb things, Devin. So I'm happy you brought that up. By the way, you are listening to 94 WIPHD1 Philadelphia, broadcasting through the Tasty Cake Studios from the beautiful Borgata down in Atlantic City. Let's keep the phones rolling. A guy I got to meet for the first time out in Reading, High Hopes Night out in Reading. Andrew in Reading. Andrew, it was great meeting you the other night, buddy.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Thank God, by the way, it was the same Andrew in Reading, because that could have been awkward if we had another Andrew. How you been, buddy?
That would have been weird. I'm doing pretty well this morning, guys. How are y'all?
It's good to hear. Well, it's Friday. We should all be doing
You're damn right,
the weekend
buddy.
Is here.
Hey, thank God. As far as just real quick the Phillies go, I don't have as much to say as everybody else maybe does. I'm not as worried maybe as a lot of people, but what does worry me is in the past, we've seen a lot of these teams kind of rally around each other, and they just kind of, they go out there and they look like they're having fun. You know, the vibes are good. Every, you know, when the bats are hot, the bats are hot. And when the pitchers are pitching well, they're pitching really well. But the thing you see more is you see these guys rallying around each other. You know,
talking about this year's team, you see that, you're saying?
Yeah.
This yeah, no,
just, we're not seeing it quite as much. I feel like they're not having as much fun.
I totally, you know? I think we've talked about it with Harper a lot. I think you see it like, and I know he's gone through the injury now and all that stuff, but like at no point this year watching baseball do I feel like I've seen Bryce Harper smile. Like, yeah. I know he has.
No, it's a good, yeah.
But it feels like
he's a very serious person he is. To begin with, but
real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.